production funding for Behind the Headlines is made possible in part by the WKNO Production Fund, the WKNO Endowment Fund, and by viewers like you. Thank you.
Shelby County Mayor Lee Harris on funding MATA, refugee resettlement, and much more tonight on Behind the Headlines. I'm Eric Barnes with the Daily Memphian. Thanks for joining us. I am joined tonight by Lee Harris, Shelby County Mayor. Thanks for being here again.
Sure, thanks.
Along with Bill Drees, reporter with the Daily Memphian. Let's start with MATA and funding. It goes back to your campaign. You campaigned heavily on raising more money for MATA and for public transit. You had proposed, and maybe still proposed, we'll get to that, a tax on the third vehicle, that money would go be a dedicated source to go to MATA. In a budget committee this week, the county commission squeaked by and passed a $20 wheel tax, all cars, not just the third car, that would go towards MATA. That I believe I got that right, Bill, that I should have let you do that front.
Well, and also it's a committee vote, which is not binding on the full commission.
Got it. Your stand first on that. Is that a good direction that you would support?
All right, so first of all, there's a lot there.
Okay.
And I think it was all accurate. But I campaigned primarily on education. I'm happy to say that the county commission was able to allocate historic funding in favor of pre-K since we have entered into office. I campaigned on VOTEC education. We have started a pilot program to bring VOTEC education back into the community. And in addition to that, like you say, we campaigned on investments in transit. So I brought a plan to the county commission that would put $10 million every year into public transit. That plan is still under consideration, but in the last several weeks, we've had a new proposal. We've actually had several, but the latest new proposal that really has some momentum is the proposal by Willie Brooks, and I think it brings together a lot of different perspectives, and I think what Commissioner Brooks has tried to do is to create a framework or a compromise to try to get this thing done so that we can invest in transit, because it's so important that we get people access to jobs, that we do something about our worsening poverty rate, and for me, that we protect and preserve our shared environment. And we know that one of the largest sources of greenhouse gas emissions is passenger vehicles. So you've got to do something around that. Transit, buses are part of the solution. So right now, the proposal by Commissioner Brooks and others, it's also co-sponsored by Commissioner Turner and Commissioner Sawyer, made it out of committee, and it'll be considered by the commission for the first time on Monday.
Bill.
So there are other proposals too. I believe that I heard some commissioners talk about using TIF funding, possibly for MATA, from the tax increment financing districts that we have. Is that viable, or is the game plan here that everybody sees what the commission does with the wheel tax ordinance?
So I think what the proposal Commissioner Brooks has is to create a transit fee. The wheel tax, as it currently sits, creates about $35 million, and that $35 million per year is allocated in favor of the school system. I believe the commission, as it sees things, wants to leave that in place. But what's been proposed by Commissioner Brooks and what will be considered on Monday here in just a few days is a $20 fee on the registration process. That's a transportation fee that goes in favor of MATA. Whether or not we could reform our economic development programs like the TIFs or the pilots, like you say, in order to create funding for MATA still remains to be seen. But I will say this, that would be an uphill climb. I mean, if we think that registration fees is an uphill climb, reforming our economic development programs, for all of us who've been around this for a while, know that that is an uphill climb. I don't know if the political will is there or not to do that. I know my position. I am all for reforms of our economic development programs. I am not a believer that our programs work in the way that is commonly presented to the public. So I'm all in favor of it. But I'm just one lever in this kind of democratic machine. And you've got to get a whole lot of people on the same page. And usually, it is nearly impossible to reform any of the economic development programs, the pilot program or the TIF program, et cetera. But again, if the will is there and the commission you know, can generate some momentum around that, you know, we'd be happy to vet that. But I think right now the momentum is around the Brooks proposal. Let's see where that goes.
The business community, I mean, the chamber, Richard Smith, former head of the chamber, you know, obviously top executive at FedEx, a lot of the business community came forward in favor of this wheel tax. Does that bode well for potentially a next step of reforms of the economic development plan, at least in terms of how some money might be peeled off for transit?
So I think that Commissioner Brooks would refer to his plan as a transit fee plan.
Yeah.
Wheel tax is separate, and the wheel tax is $35 million that's allocated in favor of the schools. Whether or not now, with respect to the Commissioner Brooks plan, I do think there is broad support for that plan. We had the largest crowd to ever attend a county commission committee meeting here just a day or so ago, and they were almost to a person in favor of millions of dollars in favor of transit and for the Brooks plan.
But do you have any sense? I mean, again, you may not, but I'm just saying, would they, a next step be that that group, that business community, which is very integrally involved in the Edge and pilots and TIFs and so on, you don't think they would want to touch that?
I don't think anybody's going to be in favor of economic development reform.
Okay.
But it is an option, and if it were to develop some momentum, I'd be happy to vet it.
I think these
are uphill battles.
Okay.
I think they go nowhere, and I don't think the political will is there
okay.
for economic development reform.
Okay, let's go back to that.
But opponents are going to call Commissioner Brooks' proposal an increase in the wheel tax. And you know, the wheel tax is arguably the most divisive and controversial local tax that has existed in local government in at least our lifetimes. What do you say to people who say that this tax was originally supposed to go for other purposes, it's changed, it's morphed, it was supposed to be temporary, and now you want to increase it?
So I would say this, and again, this is not my proposal, and so I'm not, you know, but I'll try as best I can to answer your question. I would say that there is no tax or fee or any proposal that's going to come out of any process that has a majority of the public support. At least I don't think so, at least not in my experience. So that's not the measure of how you decide what to do. How you decide what to do is based on what you think is in the public interest. And we have a public interest to do something about our worsening poverty rate, to advance the needs of this community, to protect our shared environment. So when it comes to transit, and this kind of debate, right, this aggressive debate around transit has happened in other communities, you can't dwell only on the cost. You have to also keep in front of mind the benefits of public transit. And I've talked about those. Those benefits include the environmental benefit, the economic benefit, and the equity benefit. The fact that we have 200,000 people living in poverty in this community, and someone has to work on that. Right, we have millions of dollars that go out the door every year, in my view, in favor of downtown development projects. Some of those I support. We can put millions of dollars into initiatives like transit that help folks who are trying to get job access, who are trying to get home to their family in time to spend time with them, right, who are trying to have more opportunity. We can do it. We can do millions of dollars on buildings. We can also invest millions of dollars in people.
Do you have confidence in the Memphis Area Transit Authority to pull this off? And the reason I mention that is because you've said this funding is tied to the 8 most popular routes that are currently in the system. One of those would be the Innovation Corridor. The federal funding and everything else has been rounded up for that $72 million project, and it's still going to take 5 years, Matta says, before the Innovation Corridor is going to be up and running.
I have not a lot of confidence in the capacity of local government to do a whole lot of things. So you've got to really work hard to hold them accountable, which is why we've been so deliberate and so careful about entering into this discussion around transit. Remember, we waited a whole year before we came out and presented a plan around transit. That was after making sure we looked under the hood, kicked every tire around transit, and really understood that organization. So having done that, I think we have put features in place, and Commissioner Brooks' proposal carries those forward, put features in place that will hold MATA accountable. Features like the Commissioner Brooks asked for 2 board seats that Shelby County Commission will control to make sure that there is someone overseeing what is happening at MATA. In addition to that, The proposal would come to the commission every single year as part of the budget process. And so every single year as part of the budget process, the commission would get to a report from MATA about whether or not they're living up to some of what has been promised. In addition to that, one of the problems, I mean, it's not my proposal, but one of the recommendations I would make to Brooks around his proposal is that also we need to see a formal reauthorization process. Because remember, one of the things people are so anxious about when it comes to the last will tax process is that they thought that that would sunset at some point, that there would be some limitation in terms of timing on that previous will tax, and that never came to fruition. I've looked at the will tax that was passed in 87. That was never part of the will tax. That should be part of whatever comes out of this transit process. We should have a time certain for when funding has to be reauthorized by a future commission.
Something like 5 years or 4 years or 10 years? I mean, what kind, when you...
So the time frame has to be long enough for MATA to depend on the funding and for it to plan and program use of funds. So a time period that makes sense is probably around 10 years. Long enough for them to plan, but also not permanent such that a future commission can't come in and say, hey, how did you use that money and whether or not that money was used correctly?
Let me just hit a couple things that are in there. You mentioned the conditional language where the commission would get a couple of seats on the MATA board. Exempt county residents with incomes under $30,000 from the new $20 fee. An amendment to exclude senior citizens fail. And I can't remember if we had said, but this is the proposal is up to $9 million would go to the county's general fund. After that $9 million, if that $20 wheel tax fee, whatever.
Transit fee, tax,
whatever we want to call it. Anything above the $9 million would go into the county general fund. I think I have that right. Separately, I think, am I right with this bill that the same group, the same committee said that 1.5% of the county's CIP budget would start going to MATA? Okay. Again, all these are conditioned on the full commission taking it up this coming week.
It's basically separating MATA's operating funding from its capital funding because MATA has had a huge problem and part of its transition has been after years of capital funding going into operating the bus system.
That was how the buses got to be so old and long past their life. When you say, one, do you as mayor now or do you want in any future proposal the ability to control any board seats on MATA?
Yes. All the proposals that have been discussed to board seats.
Okay.
Oh, no.
No, not from the mayor's office, though. You would not have control of that.
The charter provides that all appointments in Shelby County are made by the mayor and approved by the county commission. And so these appointments, should they come to fruition, would follow the same process.
So you have some, in terms of, I'm just getting back to that accountability. You feel like you have some amount of ways and leverage to have accountability over MATA. Okay.
When you put $10 million into an organization and you're on their board, yes, you'll have some accountability.
And then when you say that, I mean, Gary Rosenfeld, correct? Is that the CEO of MATA has been in the job, Bill, 2 years, give or take, something like that? Mm-hmm. Is that a knock on him? I mean, are you doubting his leadership or are you talking about the institution of MATA?
I doubt the ability of local government to do a whole lot of things well. And so you've really got to pay attention and you've really got to scrutinize the use of all public dollars. So wherever public dollars flow, I think there should be some scrutiny of their use. So I think it's not a knock on Gary, it's just a general perspective
I have. Shifting gears a little bit, we're talking about tax increase, and I have no idea where the mayor's office, what authority you have over this, but I'm sure you have some opinion on it. The sales tax increase that was passed, the referendum was passed by the city government city residents in the fall. There's some question about whether the county will now, hold a referendum, move forward with trying to take part of that. Where do you stand on that at this point?
I'm against that. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the county's considering that. I haven't heard commissioners talk about that.
Ed Ford came on the show and talked about it and talked about the possibility of pursuing it. That right after it happened. But I haven't heard much about it since then. So I was checking with you.
I haven't heard.
So you think that money should just stay with the city?
I think the money should stay with the city for sure to restore the benefits to law enforcement and to fire.
Okay. Bill.
Let's go back to MATA for just a second. As I understand it, you're not giving up on your sustainability fee that you originally proposed for this, what some folks have called the third car fee. You're kind of holding that to see what happens on the plan for the $20 extra.
I prefer the sustainability fee. There's no doubt about it. The sustainability fee applies to 17% of our residents, and it also reflects the need for us to, at some point, put a price on carbon and the emissions from our vehicles. I mean, climate change is real, so I'm worried about what happens at the end of the month, but I can't be in responsible leadership and not worry about the next 50 years. And so our grandkids, my grandkids, will inherit this environment, and I want to make sure that this is a place that doesn't completely radically transform. We see what's happening in Australia. We see what's happening in California. Their lives are being transformed. There is no solution in sight to the dry climate and the wildfires that you see in California that result in rolling blackouts, the shutdown of communities and stores. There is no solution. And that's happening right now in 2020. We are going to have to get our minds around that, and we're going to have initiatives that reflect the deep issues associated with climate change. And so I would prefer the sustainability fee, because what it does is it says that, look, if you have three or more cars, you're likely using the roads a lot more, and you're likely generating more emissions that degrade our environment. And so please help us to fund solutions like transit and other infrastructure. So I prefer mine. I also prefer it because it only applies to 17% of our citizens. And I believe that if you're gonna raise a fee, that a broad-based fee should be an option of last resort. You try as best you can to not tax or fee the community at large. And so that's what my plan does. And so I think it's a much better plan.
But are you gonna try to pursue both?
Yes, of course.
I'm saying if the $20 wheel tax fee cost, whatever it's called, passes, would you continue to try to go after the third car?
I am pursuing one plan.
Okay.
It is the sustainability fee is the plan that I am pursuing.
Even if the $20 passes through commission, the $20 wheel tax increase?
It's a democracy. So obviously if the commission passes something, the administration is going to execute. But what I will say is with respect to the Brooks plan, we have feedback and recommendations about how to make that plan better. And if those recommendations come into the Brooks plan, then that may be a different story. But as it currently sits, I prefer the sustainability fee.
Okay.
And I'm currently pursuing my plan.
Okay. I mentioned refugees at the top of the show, and you signed a letter and had a bit of a ceremony, I think, in your office about the extension of the Refugee Resettlement Plan. It's a federal program that over, many decades, gave some 300, as many as 400 people would be refugees, would be resettled into Shelby County. That number has gone down dramatically. I think it's gone from 56 to 44 last year, as the Trump administration, President Trump's administration, has curtailed all immigration, but the Refugee Resettlement Program. Why you not only signed the letter, but you really emphasized and made a big deal out of doing that. Why was that important to you?
So for me, refugees are folks that by definition are fleeing countries where they're being persecuted, where their lives are in jeopardy, where they reasonably fear death or substantial harm. And all of us have to do our part to provide safe haven in those circumstances. If the U.S., if Tennessee, if Shelby County, if our community has the resources to take in refugees, people whose lives are on the line, then I think we have a moral duty to do it. So that's why I emphasized it. I emphasized it because the best of us is not a philosophy of what about me. That's not the best of us, right? The best of us is when we go out and try to help those who are vulnerable and those who are in need. And refugees are in dire circumstances. Many of those refugees lose their lives just in transit to get to a safe haven. Family members lose their lives. So we can do something to help this country, this community. This is one of the real features of Shelby County is that we have a deep abiding faith. And part of that faith heritage is mission trips and support of those in need around the world. So I think it's an easy call to me, and I'd love to see us open our arms to refugees. I should also mention, because I just saw the movie Harriet Tubman. We have refugees where we all know in a lot of different circumstances, but what's little known, and if you go watch the movie Harriet Tubman, it becomes plain that the Underground Railroad is all about refugees, right? These are escaped slaves trying to make it to a place where the law will protect them as refugees, whether it was along the East Coast, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, or New York, or make it to Canada, where the refugee laws were strong. That's what that whole debate was about in part, right? It was about whether or not slaves would be free in America, but leading up to that was whether or not there was a place where you could escape to with refugee laws that would protect you. If not for those refugee laws, we wouldn't have Philadelphia, modern day Philadelphia, or an African American community in Canada. So that's an important part of all of our heritage, and that is the best of us, and that's what we should be doing.
Governor Lee this past week got what he felt like was some pushback on this at an event he was at in Nashville, and defended continuing the state's refugee status of accepting refugees for resettlement here. And he said that one of the problems is that people are not distinguishing between refugees and illegal immigration. Do you think that's a problem here, that people confuse those two statuses?
I think we have a lot of problems with the rhetoric, and a lot of that rhetoric comes out of Washington, D.C., and a lot of it is rhetoric of disunity and rhetoric that is, you know, kind of race baiting and so forth. So yeah, I think there is a lot of confusion. I think Governor Lee gets it right on that front. The issue of refugees should be something we should all embrace because again, these are people whose lives are on the line, and we can do something to save them. And you know, I'll dare us to talk about what about us when we have the wherewithal and the resources to help those who are really in need.
Are there services that county government can provide that it's not providing now for our refugee population? Nashville gets a lot of attention because of the significant Kurdish community that is there. What's the extent of the need here in Shelby County?
I think you're right. We probably do need to do a lot more here in Shelby County. So I've been in office a little bit more than a year, and so one of the first things we took a look at is our Office of Multicultural Affairs. And so we're going to do what we can to beef up that office, and we've got some ideas right now in the pipeline that are about to materialize as I go into my next state of the county. But in addition to that, I mean, just overall, we want to make sure that our numbers are up. I mean, I think Eric had it right, that we used to accept 10 times the number of refugees that we accept today. And so the number is now just a very, very very small number. When you look at the globally, the United States of America accepts less than 1%, I think, is the last statistic I saw around refugee resettlement. And so we've got to do a lot better to get those numbers up and be more welcoming, and also to advocate that some of these approaches are changed. So fortunately, Governor Lee, whose wife I understand does mission work and interacts with refugees, and so knows about this issue. Fortunately, Governor Lee is in agreement that we need to do our best and be our best selves and help those in need. But we also need to bring that perspective to Washington because it's something that is born of our heritage, and something that I think if people understood this and the rhetoric could be put to the side, that everybody would agree with.
Just a couple minutes left here, so move through a number of things somewhat quickly. I think it was about a year ago we had you on the show, and the county commission was in the midst of, or had just voted to put, I think it was $1.5 million towards studying an expanded juvenile justice center. What's going on with the juvenile justice center? Is that going to be expanded? Are you comfortable with what's happening there?
We're still working on that issue. So we have a lot of needs, substantial needs, and we're going to have to knock those out. We are working right now to create a culture around carefulness when it comes to spending. And so that is in process, and making sure that we are aligned with the county commission to spend on important top priority initiatives. One of the top priorities, as you mentioned, is a new youth justice and education center. And so we're going to come to the budget process here again soon and ask the county commission to set aside funding for a youth justice and education center.
I think I'm right in this, that while violent crime overall in Memphis Shelby County is roughly stable in the last year, it was up dramatically midsummer. Am I right, Bill? It was up some like 50 or 60% among juveniles.
Yeah.
It was a huge spike in juvenile crime. Is that an indictment of the existing juvenile justice system, that juvenile crime could spike so much?
Yes, it's an indictment that we are not doing enough to rehabilitate juveniles, to remind them that they have their whole future ahead of them, and that there is still opportunity in this community for them. So in Shelby County government over the last year, we have been able to expand our evening reporting center. So evening reporting center is somewhere that is an alternative to detention. It's an after school programming geared particularly to the juveniles that are justice involved. And so we've just opened up a new one in partnership with Shelby County Schools. In addition to that, we've entered into a partnership with UT to do a youth advocacy coalition. And that is where justice involved youth and their families can go to get resources and get directions direction around how to get help. So we've got to do a lot more of that as a community. I think everybody's on the same page there. And I think everybody's on the same page that our youth crime is too high and it's growing.
Just one of your priorities, we'll stay on criminal justice reform. We could do a whole show on this issue, but you've made a legislative priority. Legislature is about to start going to session out of changes to the reinstatement of driver's license. There's some 100,000 people, I guess, in Shelby County whose driver's licenses, they've lost their driver's license. That process of reinstating is very complicated. You want to simplify it. Why?
Right. So I want to expand the ability of people to get their driver's licenses returned. We have over across the state, according to the state, we have over 600,000 people that have lost their driver's licenses because of court debt. And so these are instances not necessarily related to their ability to safely use a motor vehicle, but they just can't pay their court debt. We know that over 90% of them are too poor to ever pay their court debt, right? Because there was a federal case that examined this issue. And in that federal case, the court found they'll never pay it. So they don't have access to driver's licenses. We need to try to create a path for people to get driver's licenses, because if they don't, they continue to drive and go through this cycle of negative interaction with law enforcement over and over again.
All right, we will leave it there. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it. Thank you, Bill. And thank you for joining us. Join us again next week.